Hello, everyone. Today is that time of day. It's time for our little talk. So hopefully everyone is doing well and feeling good and ready to learn something or willing to share today. And so the topic for today is for leaders, how to lead during the change process. And sorry, I'm trying to get adjusted. I had just gotten in. I could have probably just given the talk while I was out. But anyway, no worries. And so we're going to talk about the change process and what we're going to talk about the change process itself and as leaders, how to process and guide your team or your employees through that change process. So change is inevitable. We know this. It's going to happen regardless. So it's best to have a way to process that change that's meaningful for the company or even as an individual, that's meaningful for you and makes it a positive thing, because a lot of people, and really it's just human nature, we're afraid of change. And so we're uncomfortable with it. And so we're going to talk about how we can just kind of ease the process and, achieve what we need to achieve during a change. And so we're going to talk about 6 stages of change. And so, and we're going to discuss what happens at that particular stage. And then as leaders, a strategy to help your team process that change at that particular stage. And so it's very important to be able to identify which stage of change that your team or organization is in. And so here's the 6 stages of change that we're going to discuss. 1 is the pre-contemplation. And then the 2nd stage is contemplation. 3rd stage is determination. 4th stage is action. Then we're going to talk about maintaining. And then finally, recycling. And so the 1st stage is pre-contemplation. And so basically at this stage, the person, your team, they're not even aware of the need for that change. And so they may just be in denial that, hey, you know, what are you talking about? We, you know, everything looks good on our end. Why do we need to change? So they're going to naturally resist it. So they're at this stage, they're going to have many questions such as, why this change? You know, why do we need this change? And how does it affect me? What's in it for me? And so really, they're not going to want to hear anything about this is the way it's going to be and get over it. You know, that type of situation, you know, that type of attitude, that's going to invite resistance. And we don't want that. And so we need to find a way to help them transition into the change. So at this point, you just want to give them information. Just the facts, only the facts, so they can begin to process change for themselves. So an example of only the facts, you know, giving them only the facts would be maybe sharing the goal of the change. The goal is, for an example, the goal is that by this time next year, everyone in the department will be certified. Or another example could be offering the benefits of the change. The benefits of this change is ABC, you know, 1, 2, 3, whatever those changes are. You can kind of just give them a list of the benefits of what that change will present. Finally, you can also offer a time frame. You can say, well, you know, it's a fact. It's going to take about 6 weeks for us to implement this change, and then just remind them that I'm confident that we can do this and, you know, yay, go change. And so what is the strategy here? So by providing an information, like in a matter of fact tone, you can increase the trust. And at this stage, trust is very, very important. So basically, here's the situation, and what do you want to do? So this allows your team to understand that they do have a choice, no matter how limited that choice may be. And so that's the pre-contemplation stage. And again, at this stage, they're going to maybe be in denial, and they may not even realize that a change is needed. And so it's very, very important at this stage that you just give them the facts. You know, this is the facts of the matter. And so once they get from the pre-contemplation stage, they go to contemplation. And basically at this stage, the individual is processing the information that you provided to them as the leader, and they're just starting to think about it. So as the leader, listening to your team's concern is a must. You may need to provide clarity by answering their questions and just really reinforcing their motivations. So you may need to remind the team of their why. You know, what is the purpose of this team? You know, what are we set out to do? And then you can connect that this is how the change will help us achieve the why of our team. And so at this stage, the team is going to begin to get more clear on why the change, you know, why we're having such a change or why we're making the change. And then they can begin to commit to the change. So, you know, it's important to note that at this stage, everyone may not be 100% on board, you know, but that's okay. You know, at this point, they just need to become more motivated to the change than not motivated. And so that's the goal and the strategy for the contemplation stage. And so the next stage, we have someone waiting. So let's just see who that is. Melissa, my favorite friend. And so we just went over the pre-contemplation stage, and now we're on the contemplation stage. Hi, Melissa, how are you?
I'm good. I hope I didn't interrupt your flow, because I love your topic. So if you want me to, I can kind of step back and come back up after you finish.
Oh, no, if you have any comments, please share.
I just love it because, you know, I'm leading through change right now. I just relocated my company in the spring to a new city. And so much of what you're saying is so on point. And I just wanted to co-sign it.
Thank you. So how are you processing the change for your company?
Really well, actually. I mean, one of the things about change is you have to be prepared for the unexpected. And yes. So, you know, some of the things in our transition, a lot of it went well, but a lot of it, you know, didn't. We had funding that was promised to us that is delayed. Yes. And that really kind of caused a domino effect in terms of being able to launch things in a timely manner. But we had, you know, wanted to build up our team, you know, to be, you know, almost double the size it is now. So, you know, I couldn't in good faith kind of keep those people that I wanted to hire hanging in there. Like they were working commission, but they were working commission short term. They were, you know, working commission with the hopes of getting, something that's very substantial, you know, in terms of pay. So we had to deal with the awkwardness of that, you know.
Wow.
And but the thing that I learned from all of it was to just really have, I had to develop something in my character called patience that I don't naturally have. it's not my strength, you know, but it has become my strength through this process. And I think when you talked about being transparent and being a great communicator, that is so important. It is so important that you let your team, and they're my colleagues, to let them see you go through this, to be honest with them about, you know, what you're thinking, what moves you're going to make, and involve them also in the adjustments that have to happen. Any organization, when it goes through any type of change, you know, it's really wonderful if the leader can collaborate with their fellow leaders, fellow colleagues about it and get their input. so that they feel connected to what's happening. And I'm very glad that I did, because my executive team, I'm at a stage in my company's growth where I'm able to step back and let a team, you know, lead my company in my stead. Mm-hmm. So I'm able to go out and do fundraising and marketing and branding and that kind of stuff. So I'm very fortunate to be at that stage in my company. And, you know, that group, my core leadership team, were just absolutely phenomenal. And yeah. I asked their input and I involved them in the decision making and the problem solving. We run into obstacles. And I just think it just helps me to work through the stress of it. Because yes. there's real stress when you're going through a transition in your company or when you're trying to grow or expand. And, you know, and so I don't need to feel like everything depends on me. I hire smart people for a reason. Right. And it's, I need to utilize them, utilize their intelligence, utilize their creativity. And I'm in love with them. Like, my team is my heart. they really are my heart, and we're doing great. You know, what could have probably really jolted some smaller companies and younger companies that are like us really helped to catapult us. And we had a really big win yesterday, as a team, and we were able to really appreciate it because we were able to adjust together as a team.
Excellent. Do you want to expound on the good news?
Well, I mean, we had a good meeting because, you know, we've had funding delays, but we went out and we didn't let that discourage us. Good. So while we're waiting for that funding to come, we were able to find another potential funder. And so we had a very good meeting. Yeah, we had another good meeting with them. And that's a process. Like, I think for us, you know, just to encourage people who might be, you know, bootstrappers like myself, I'm a bootstrap startup moving into growth phase. Yeah. That can be a very challenging time, you know, when right. you're a leader to go through that. And you're going to have ups and you're going to have downs. And I wish more people would talk openly about it, because a lot of people don't want to talk about their financial journey. You know, going through all of that. I'm very transparent about talking about mine, because I just believe it's a part of the process. Also, as I go through my business journey, I'm trying to share as authentically as I can to encourage other people to have the courage to do it. Right. To not feel like it's going to always be instant manifestation.
Roses and lollipops.
Yeah, it's you know, that may be for some, but it hasn't been my story. You know, mine is much Amen. More of an unfoldment. You know, yeah. I'm not having instant cash flow and instant popularity and, you know, recognition and all that stuff. And I'm not actually seeking it. I just try to let people know that there's all kinds of business leaders out there. There are those who are highly popular and everybody's just chasing them and wanting to get in the room with them where it happens. And then there's me.
But you know what? I like what you actually said, because guess what? You know, even those big leaders began small somewhere, you know? And so, you know, I always say, you know, never despise your small beginnings, because you're just planting seeds and they will grow if you continue. And I love that. And I also love what you said about delegating. That is something that's hard for a lot of leaders. You know, we like to, you know, this is our baby and, you know, I don't want to share, or, you know, I'm afraid of what might happen if I let you in. But that is a strong and important skill set that as leaders we have to have. We have to be able to delegate and trust our team that they are qualified and that they can carry it out.
And also, you know, for me, delegation was also about humility. Like, yes. there are just things that some members of my team do better than me. You know, yes. like, I have my CEO, for example, who runs my company in my stead. She is just a wizard multitasker. She's a mother of eight, five still at home. And she has a nonprofit she runs. And she runs my company with ease. Like, she's just gifted, and
Yes.
she's just wonderful. And she brings, because she is a mother, and I'm not a mother. I'm an educator, but I'm not a mother. And a lot of the people that we're serving are moms. I love having her at the helm of our company. I think it just gives it such a different feel, and it builds immediate trust. And so, one of the things that I've had to learn to do is to be, have a sober estimate of myself in terms of what I can do. And it doesn't mean that I can't run my own company, because I did. I was a CEO for the first 2 years of it, or the first 2.5 years of it. She's only been in the role for about 3 or 4 months. But I really love my company enough, and I also love her enough to recognize her talent and her abilities. Even though she didn't see it at first, now she's relaxing in it, because we're recreating what it means to be. We actually don't even use chief executive officer. We use chief education officer.
All
Like,
right, I love it.
we're making it our own. And I just think she's an amazing parent educator, conscious educator, and I lift her up for that. So let's love the topic. I mean, I definitely don't want to hog up more time than I need to, but I just think that what you're talking about is amazing. Like, how do you lead through a change process? And I think, to sum it up in a nutshell, for me, humility, patience, collaboration. Those are the three things that I think are important when you're going through change. Because, it's okay to shift. And sometimes, we're going to have to shift many times in the early phases of our companies. And, especially when you're just starting off and figuring out who you are, who you are in your industry. You're trying to, get your legs underneath you. You will go through a lot of change and transition, but really, try not to be in a bubble. Try not to be in a vacuum. Do the best you can to be very transparent with the people who care. And it's okay to say, help me. Like, I reach out for help a lot and say, help me. I don't know. I've had to be very vulnerable and start to ask people and say, hey, I need encouragement, or I just, it's good to do that, because change can be stressful. It can be hard, and we don't have to bite our lower lip and pretend like we're not struggling. Sometimes we are, and we need to just be vulnerable and honest with the people who care about us and believe in us.
Absolutely. Melissa, as the time is nearing, why don't you share with us who you are and what do you do?
I'm Melissa Perkins, and I'm a global master educator, and I'm the owner of Blue Star Virtual Learning. And feel free to click on my face and connect. And I'd love to tell you more about what I do and be a support.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. And thank you for joining me. I always enjoy when you come up and talk. Thank you so much, Melissa. And so just like she was saying, as leaders, a lot of times we feel like we may need to have a certain facade about how leaders should look, how they should think, how they should act. And really, as leaders, we're just all humans. And like she was saying, she said she believes in humility, collaboration, and that's very, very important. Because it's a learning thing, we all learn. And as leaders, you have to be able to trust that your team is going to, have the capacity to do what you hired them to do. And so, going back, we talked about the pre-contemplation stage, and we just discussed the contemplation stage. Again, humility and collaboration is key in both of these stages, because your team wants to feel like they're being heard. And as human beings, we always want to feel like we have the ability to choose. So as leaders, it's very important that we just let our staff know, we let our team know that, hey, there is a choice, no matter how limited that is, that there is a choice, and that we can go ahead and process this change together. And that's what helps. So again, we're at pre-contemplation. We just talked about contemplation. And so we have another guest waiting. So I'm gonna go ahead and let them join. And Bella, and get some more insights on how maybe you have processed change and guide your employees. Hello, how are you?
Hello, Nancy. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for coming up on stage and talking to me. So do you have any insights or maybe an experience you'd like to share?
Well, leadership is something, it's like walking on a tightrope.
Yeah.
You're like, whoa, I got to do this. And you say, never again. Then, get to the other end, you go, and then you start again. And
yes.
I always say leadership for me is being by grace. I was always somebody who had to step in front. Even getting on stage is something which I have to do. I've never been somebody who's like, yeah, look at me, I'm a leader.
Right. And those, you know what? And those are the best type of leaders who, like you said, have that humility.
Oh, that's what they say. But, you know, we're all human beings. But I guess it's because I'm a daddy's girl. And you're laughing, so I know you know exactly why.
I understand.
You know, when I was young, I asked my father, because there were all these bullshit leaders around, and he gave me some advice which I've used. He said, when you talk to somebody, listen to what they're saying, and when you listen to what they're saying, connect with them and then reply back, because when you show an interest in them, all you're doing is asking a question, they're replying, you asking a question, they're replying. And the more that tennis match goes, the more you're connected with each other.
Yeah.
And I think that is one of the importance of leadership, curiosity, the asking of questions and actually listening for the answers. And when you're curious, you show genuine interest. It's not a false interest, it's a genuine interest. And human beings like people who are interested in them, because we don't know everything.
That's right.
And no matter how hard we study or experiences we get, it's a minuscule to what is available. So to me, one of the most important thing of leadership is curiosity. And I was a leader at the age of 21 by grace. And with my particular looks, that was very unusual.
Right. You know, see it, gotcha.
Yeah, you know, the suntan salon and all that.
Yeah.
And so I quickly saw a pattern that when I was in a place of management, it would just take 1 month to actually settle in, because I quickly learned you had to find who the linchpin is.
Yeah.
And form a very strong relationship with that linchpin. And once you found that, then your job was a lot easier, because the linchpin was the person who would relay the information, and they may not be your deputy, but if you had the linchpin on your side, it was easier to break down the barriers which you found. And that I learned later on in life works when you are in managerial control or leadership control, because you are able to influence the culture and shift that Overton window bit by bit. And being a leader is really important. And I'll end with my form of leadership. The importance of leadership is not just that you are a leader. The importance of leadership is actually understanding the strengths and weaknesses of your team and getting them, if one can talk about Maslow's triangle, to go through that Maslow's triangle so they can self-actualize. Because a true leader is somebody who actually helps self-actualize people. And that is really good because it also teaches them about themselves. So it's an equilibrium process. Now, I don't like talking too much about myself on social media. Suffice to say that I've worked, I've obviously gone to business school as well, where I learned other skills and trade. But the thing I found, and I've worked across four continents, and so I've had to overcome a number of barriers, gender, physical, perception management issues. One thing I have found is that if you can connect on a human-to-human basis, it gets a lot easier. But it takes a lot of courage to do that. And when I say courage, I mean courage. I'm giving a talk on Saturday here about courage. Courage is connecting to your inner knowing and not being dragged by the dogma. So that inner knowing is a holistic one, both physically, mentally, and spiritually. Yes. And when that anchor is very, very strong, you are going to face the waves. But if the anchor is strong in a holistic sense, you can state your case. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm sure other people are going to come and give their view, and I'm really happy to learn. But I just wanted to share with those who are listening, you know, what my perception, closing perceptions of leadership is, because it's so broad.
It is.
And there are three things, and it's on my Instagram page for those who are interested. So you don't need to take notes if you're inspired by them, and I'm certainly inspired by them. And I also want to give a shout out to my father, who is a great leader. Great leaders don't set out to be a leader. They set out to make a difference. All right. It's never about the role. It's always about the goal.
That's right. Absolutely. Can you repeat that?
It's on my Instagram page. So if you miss it, but I will repeat it. Great leaders didn't set out to be a leader.
Yes.
They set out to make a difference.
Yes.
It's never about the role. It's always about the goal. The second is, a leader is best when people barely know he exists. When his work is done, his aim fulfilled, they will say we did it ourselves.
Yes.
And the third one, which I think always gets me into trouble, is leaders always choose the harder right rather than the easier wrong. And so if I was to summarize how to lead during change processes, those three quotations would be my bedrock and my anchor. And Nancy, thank you so much for listening.
Oh, thank you. And can you go ahead and let us know where we can find you and a little bit about what you do?
Okay. You can find me on Instagram, where I post things that inspire me on my own journey. And I'm also on Clubhouse, where when I first came to Clubhouse, I put here to learn and, if possible, add value. And the person said, no, you can't put that. They'll never get you on stage. Because I was talking about something and they would look at, I didn't know that people looked at your bio, you know. She said, what you're saying does not reflect your bio. You can't put something about yourself. So I put some brief things about myself, which I'd experienced under grace, and I'm somebody who doesn't like labels because of an experience I had quite recently, and it reinforced that belief. So if you go to my Clubhouse page, there'll be a few highlights for my journey, but I'm more than that. I'm somebody who is passionate about connecting with people and learning from people, and an intersectionalist in the sense that I believe we should broaden our experiences, which help us connect with others and not judge people by our senses, but more by what they bring to the table.
Yes.
Well, thank you very much. And then if you tap on my profile, you can tap on my Instagram page, and the various quotes I have, I hope will give you an insight into who I am. So thank you very much, Nancy.
Thank you, Bella, for getting on stage and sharing those wonderful and powerful insights. I'm not actually even sure what happened because her time had expired and she was still able to talk. And I'm so glad that she was able to do so. But one of the things that I want to highlight that she said that was very, very powerful. And by the way, if you are not already following her, please, by all means, and definitely visit her Instagram to get those three amazing insights that she just offered. And, you know, that's one of the key things that I wanted to talk about how to lead during the change process is you have to, like she just said, like Bella just said, you have to have the courage to connect to your inner self and understand and know that it's not even about the title. It's about the goal. And that's just something with going through the change process period. Allowing your team members, the people that are under you, allowing them to understand that it's about achieving the goal of that group or that organization. And that's where in both the pre-contemplation stage that we talked about and the contemplation stage we talked about, it's just mainly listening and connecting. And that was a powerful point that that Bella had also shared, when she said, when you listen to what your team is saying, I mean, and really listening, and not listening to the point where you're just being quiet so then you can just bring back your point, but actually truly listening to what they're saying, because it's trust is essential for you to achieve the goals of your team. And so if you're listening, and then she said having like a spirit of curiosity, and just actually listening and paying attention and maybe answering those questions or even sharing the same concerns that are being expressed throughout the change. Because like we were just saying, you know, in the pre-contemplation stage, a lot of time they're not even aware that a change is even necessary. Or again, they may just be in denial. And so sharing the information, you know, reminding the team of the why and listening to them and giving them room and time to listen and to process. And that's what these processes are about. It's not about, oh, you know, this sounds good. You know, I'm just going to go through these stages and we're going to do whatever. No, it's really about understanding and listening to what your team needs and just helping them through the process, because everybody is different. One person may process change differently than another person on your team. And so it's very, very important that you remind the team of those goals and that the goal of the team or the organization or, you know, or whatever, the club, whatever, you know, leadership is just not conduced or reduced to being a leader in an organization. You could be a leader. You're a leader in your family. You could be a leader in your household. You could be a leader at school. So these are actually skills that will take you far if you learn them now. because it's inevitable that most of us will become leaders in one form or another. And so, you know, like I said, the pre-contemplation stage, your team may not even be aware that a change is even needed. And so give them the information, the facts only, of what is needed for that change. It could be offering the benefits, you know, the benefits of what this change is going to present, or even the time frame, just letting them know, you know, it's going to take about 6 weeks, but you know, we got this, we can do it. And that's the strategy, you know, because you're increasing trust, and trust is essential in any team. And as the leader, you're that guide to help your team process change. And then, you know, the next stage again is contemplation. And at this stage, you know, they're just processing the information. And again, something I also want to add, to change is not, it's a process. It's not something that's going to always happen overnight. And as humans, it takes us a little time to sometimes process it. And hopefully that we always have the room and the time to process, because sometimes change happens so quickly at a blink of an eye, you don't know what to do. But, you know, if you just keep these core steps in mind, and again, you know, like Bella said, understanding and knowing who you are, and knowing that it's not about you, it's about the goal that's to be achieved. That is a huge step in processing change successfully. And so we talked about pre-contemplation and contemplation. And again, with contemplation, you know, at that stage, the goal is not to get them to embrace the change, because at that stage, they may not. But what it does, and so don't be surprised if they're not 100% on board with that change. But it's okay. They just need to become more motivated, and not motivated at this stage. And so the next stage is determination, which is basically, this is the why the team has made the decision to change and begin to make plans and envision the future. So they're actually starting to kind of making the decision that, okay, you know what, change is going to happen. It looks like this is going to happen. You know, let me just go kind of get on board. And then you start, you know, they start perceiving what is the future going to look like, you know, as this change happens. And so as a leader, you must continue to listen to your team's concerns. And again, that goes right back to listening, active listening, and, you know, and answering any questions they may have that related to the change. And so one thing that you can do is practicing visualization and allowing your team to practice the visualization of what is the future state of what they change. And that's a great tool to use to help get your team on board. So allow your team to envision how change will look to them. And then you can guide them with options, such as you can offer maybe training sessions. You say, you know, we're going to offer several training sessions on this change. Which session do you want to attend? Again, you're allowing that team to understand that, yeah, you have a choice in this matter. Pick which training session you would like to get involved in. And then again, just saying, you know what, we're going to get through this. And again, collaboration. We're going to get through this as a team. And I'm here to listen to you and to support you in any way as we go through this change. Listening and understanding will allow the team to continue to process and prepare for the change in a positive way. And so once they determine, you know, they're going to get on board with the change, and now they're starting to plan and they start seeing the future, that, you know, a momentum can start get started. And they can start getting excited about the change. And so the next step would be just to take action, and that's implementing the change. And so at this point of the stage, the team may not even need so much support and so much hand-holding at this point. But as a leader, check up on each team member, individual. And have, you know, maybe like problem solving powwows to see how they need it, if they need, what support do they need through the implementation process. Always have an open door for support if they need it. And again, it goes right back to listening. Just be always mindful of what your employees may need. And the only way you can do that is by communicating and asking them and listening to what they say, and then helping them to resolve whatever issues that may come up or any concerns that may happen. And so, you know, once you're at this implementation stage, you done implemented the change and it's happening, then you have to maintain that. Because as with anything, maintenance is key. So because maintenance allows for the opportunity to look for any bugs and locating any problems as they occur. And also, you know, maintenance also allows to tweak the process as needed. Keeping lines of communication open and providing routine training and communication, maybe problem-solving skills, interpersonal skills. It can reinforce new perspectives in the way that your team may view their jobs and their contributions to the team and to the organization. And so the next part, something that you might also want to think about is there's always a possibility that something can go wrong. I mean, that it just happens. Life happens. And so, but, you know, no worries, because lapses will happen from time to time. It's just going to happen. But when it does happen, just remember to remind the team of your why. You know, why are we existing? What is the purpose? What is our team doing? And just kind of reminding them, you know, this is why we're doing this. And so even though, you know, we might have a little delay, it doesn't mean it's a denial. We're just going to pick ourselves back up. We're going to resolve the situation. We're going to keep it moving. And remind them of their commitment. When you do that, you can remind them, you know, the benefits of the change itself and the benefits of just being in the team and working as a collaborative. And it's, again, it's always about listening and always being available to answer any questions as they occur. So, you know, those are the stages of change. And that's how, you know, if you're not sure, this is just one of the ways that you can process going through change and identifying where are you in the process of change. But a few main points that I want to go ahead and stress on and focus on is the connection, connection you must have with your team. You've heard Melissa and you heard Bella on here sharing their experiences with processing change and what's important. And so I definitely want to add what they said, which basically is having humility, you know, and knowing that you don't have all the answers and just delegating and just having the faith and trust that your team that you hired is going to be able to handle what you hired them to do and just letting go sometimes and always being collaborative. And then Bella had added where she was saying that really listen, you know, that's the main thing. It's just really listening to what someone else is saying. And her dad has given excellent advice and I honor him as well because it's excellent. She said, when you listen to what you're saying, pause, listen, just really listen and then reply back. So listening is the curiosity. Actually listening is really your special sauce, the ability to listen and connect. And then having the courage to connect to your inner being and knowing that you're more than just a title, so much more, and that it's more about the goal and not who and not the title. And again, for both ladies, if you're not following them already, please go and look ahead and you can just tap at that top where the numbers are and listen and look out for them and follow them. Because I tell you, both ladies, Melissa has been on here many times before and always comes with just powerful insights. And Bella, yes, she just said a mouthful, a gem of insights that can really help you as a leader and really can help you in life. And so let's just do a brief review. We talked about the six stages. It's really mainly four, but I added two more. Pre-contemplation, which is the stage where your team is not even aware that there's a need for change. And so at this stage, you know, you just want to give them facts only. You don't want to try to force them to accept the change, because guess what? It's just not going to happen at this stage. And so the next stage is contemplation. And so the individual is processing the information you provided, and they're beginning to think about it. So basically what you want to do is listen, really listen, and provide clarity by answering any questions. And you want to reinforce their motivations. The next stage is determination. And excuse me, just give me just a second. The next stage is determination. And so at this stage, the team has already decided that they're going to go along with the plan. And so they're making plans and they're envisioning the future. And so basically, you just want to keep guiding them, giving them options. And that might be, excuse me, I had to take some water. But you want to, you know, just offer them a training to support them. Because at this point, they're on board. And then the last phase, you want to take action. And that's the implementation of change. So at this point, the team may not need a lot of support, but just always be available if support is needed. And then as you continue through the change process, you want to make sure that you maintain, because that allows for any opportunity to look for any problems that may occur, and that you want to be able to tweak as needed. So at that stage, you want to keep lines of communication open. And again, just you want to reinforce maybe new perspectives of, again, offering maybe some training on communication or problem solving skills. And that just will allow them to see maybe another point of view of how they contribute to the team. And then finally, lapses is going to happen. You know, delays are going to happen. And so at this stage, you just want to continue, because morale at this stage, sometimes it can get low. And so you just kind of want to remind the team of the why. You know, what is our purpose? Why are we doing what we're doing? And why it's important for us to continue to do what we're doing. And then again, just remind the team of any benefits of the change, and always be available to answer any questions as they occur. And so, you know, as I end, you know, my insights and, you know, what I've learned and listen to everything that you said today, I really appreciate you. Change is inevitable, and it's going to happen in your life, in your company's life, in any team, any club. It's just going to happen. It's just something that's a part of life. But as leaders, you know, we are tasked to identify those changes and then lead the process to achieve the overall goal of that change and the vision of the organization. So consider the steps. Again, it's not something that you have to, you know, A, B, C, D, this is what I'm going to do. But what it does is just kind of set an outline as a guide. So when you are dealing with change, you know, you can understand maybe the mindset of those team members, and then you can be able to help them accordingly. But if you don't do anything else, listen to your team, because many times they're going to tell you what's needed and they're going to tell you the help that they need. So always be open to listen to what they're saying. And sometimes just because it may sound like they're disagreeing with you, maybe they just need more clarity. And so just kind of listen out and then answer the questions and just be open and be willing to listen and be humble and work together as a team to meet the common goal and the vision of whatever that team, organization, club, or even your household. And this is something. This is actually a process I use with my clients who are going through a career transition. Because guess what? Career transition is a change. And so these are just some of the steps that we go over to help that person get clear, to help my clients get clear on who they are and where they want to be. And that's one of the main things that I actually do, that I consider one of the most important things I do as a career coach, is to help that person understand who they are, embrace who they are, and understand their power, you know, how powerful they are. Because a lot of times we may feel like we're powerless, powerless in our situation, powerless in our careers or in our lives. But that couldn't be further from the truth. We all have power and we all are powerful in our own right. And so that's what I do. I definitely try to get you to see, well, I help you discover or remind you of the power that you possess and how you can use your superpower to use that power to get what you want in your life and to help you figure out what you want in your life. Because sometimes just because something looks greener on the other side, it isn't always so. And so basically I just provide a platform to allow you to see yourself as who you are and what it is you really want. And as I end, you know, please feel welcome to join me on in this lounge, on stage, or in this talk, and share your experiences, because I love learning from you as well. And I hope that what I shared with you today resonates and that you'll be able to use this in your walk, in your career journey. And I'm Nancy Gettridge, founder of Phenomenal Image. And if you're someone who is tired of being tired and being in a career that is not fulfilling you, then I invite you to have a chat with me. You feel free to get on this talk and talk to me. We can chat. Or if you want something more private, you can DM me on Instagram or also on LinkedIn, and we can have a chat. And finally, you can just go on to my website, phenomenalimage.com, and schedule a 20-minute chat. And I love to get to know you and see how I can help and make a difference in your career. But with all that being said, I'm Nancy Gettridge, founder of Phenomenal Image, and I help you figure out what really matters to you in your career, and then I help you achieve it. So with that in mind, have a phenomenal day. Oh, and most importantly, whether you stayed here for a minute or you stayed here the entire talk, I want you to know that I really appreciate you just sharing with me and visiting me and listening. Because of any of all the things that you could have been doing at this point in time, you chose to visit me. And I appreciate that. And I don't take that lightly. So again, if there's anything that I can do to help you and assist you, please let me know. And also, if you have a topic, or if you have a question that you would love for me to discuss on my talk, then just let me know. You can DM me and let me know, and we can talk about it. So with that being said, have a blessed day, have an intentional day, have a phenomenal day. Thank you. Bye.